All right, man. Welcome to Pro 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 677. Jason Lindgren is with me and returning. We're very happy to have Weston Warren. Previously has done episodes under Jet Blake. Now back to Weston Warren. We're going to talk about some pretty important ideas here. If you've noticed the energies around you lately, things are changing. And that's exactly what we're going to get into. Welcome, Jason.
And a very lovely good morning.
Welcome back, Weston.
It's great to be back.
It's great to have you back. If you want to take a minute to tell folks where they can find you and your stuff and add anything else you'd like to, now's the time.
Oh, okay. Well, the interviews I've done before, we got a good response from your audience because they enjoyed our technology that's designed to help with everyday living and health, addressing air and surface contaminations and various diseases and health issues that come from contamination. So they went to westonscientificllc.com. That's W-E-S-T-O-N, westonscientificllc.com. And we reminded individuals on checkout, there's a message you can put in Crow. And then that way we know it's from the Crow listening audience. But the emails, because sometimes I get questions on the interview or on our website, the email is westonscientific@gmail.com. So that's how westonscientific@gmail.com email. And we can respond that way. And then the website's westonscientificllc.com.
All right. Last time you were on, there was a huge response, and I'm expecting something very similar this time around in light of what we're going to talk about. Jason, are we going to get in with these sections here in the notes?
Yeah, let's start off with that.
All right, it's all you.
So, Weston, your work looks at electromagnetic relationships and harmonic behavior rather than visible light alone. In our earlier conversations, you described what appears to be an additional energy input interacting with Earth's core since roughly the mid-2000s, with the planet responding to that input in visible and measurable ways. So the question now is not just whether that interaction exists, but at what stage of the process are we at now?
Okay. Yes, because I explain this anomaly and how it pressurizes the Earth because it affects the Earth's core. And then as the core is energized, the magma surrounding the core becomes superheated, expands, moves upward, and pressurizes the Earth. There's ancient magma corridors that are now full. Our evidence data seems to indicate they were fully pressurized around 2018. And recent discoveries since our last interview, these main corridors, picture like an octopus where you have the body or the head of the octopus and then it has its tentacles or arms. The epicenter is the Indonesia area. And then there's arms that come out and crisscross the globe, four arms, northern, southern hemisphere. But since then, there are corridors that are connecting the four main trunk lines. What that means is that the Earth's continental plates will eventually break apart in pieces. So let me use this illustration. You make a hard-boiled egg. My mom used to make a bunch of hard-boiled eggs because they were good, healthy snacks, which I enjoyed. She'd make the hard-boiled egg and then cool them in the refrigerator. So as a kid, I remember coming home, grabbing a hard-boiled egg. And what I would do is I would lightly tap it on the kitchen countertop, tap, tap, and rotate it. And what I did is fractured that eggshell. And then I would peel it off, run it under cold water, and eat it, you know, hard-boiled egg. Well, that's what's happening. Picture the Earth's continental plates, the Earth's crust. It's being fractured like that hard-boiled egg. And it's being fractured from underneath, pressurization underneath from magma and these earthquakes that are happening worldwide. What we will see, our predictions, is when there's a full optimization from this electromagnetic emitter, there's going to be major world events. The anticipation is what the ancient texts and scriptures kind of describe an Armageddon event, where there's massive severe weather patterns, volcanic earthquake, tsunami, tornado, hurricane activity, and the Earth literally gets reconfigured. So the continents that we see now on a globe or on a map you look at in geology, the Earth will look different. Some of the land masses that we see now will be submerged and be in the bottom of oceans. Continents will split apart. New land masses will emerge from oceans that don't exist now. So when this event is done, Earth looks completely different.
Is this a quick, or are we talking decades, eons, centuries? What are we looking at in how much time goes by in this process?
Well, when you ask that question, do you mean the final, more intense, violent event?
Yeah, like an Atlantis, or like gradually?
No, it appears when we have new land masses that appear in the Atlantic and Pacific regions, for example, these land masses will appear within months because the magma, the ocean bases will open up and massive magma plumes will breach the ocean floor. Magma will come up and you'll have massive islands appearing larger than, for example, New Zealand, larger than Iceland. So that's fairly quick. That's within weeks. But the breaking up of continents, like if United States, potentially you'll have United States splitting where the Great Lakes, there's a causeway, the Great Lakes to Gulf of Mexico, that event will take months and months to occur where there's a separate. Well, like I'll give you an example. Right now, you're probably aware, your listening audience, Africa is splitting. Eastern Africa, you have the Nubian plate and the Somali plate. So Eastern Africa is already breaking away from mainland Africa, and you can see it from drone footage and aircraft. It's physically splitting away. So in geology, it takes years for continents to break apart.
Is there a oh crap moment that would really be a direct indicator things are about to go down, such as Yellowstone going off?
Yeah, maybe a reason for all the billionaires digging deep holes in the ground and stocking them with food and water?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because when all heck breaks loose, yeah, you'll have the trunk line of Yellowstone, Mount St. Helens, Mount Rainier, the seamount off the coast of Oregon. That all erupts. By the time that event happens, from our perspective, from that point, you better be right in a spiritual sense, because we're talking events where canned food, gold coins, guns and bullets in a bunker, that's not how you're going to survive this event. So yeah, that time is coming. Our rough estimation is we have a disturbing forecast over the next 6 years, if you were to pin it down. So it's not a specific month, but conditions are already bad. I can give you examples later in the show. We can talk about the Tonga region and what's happening in Indonesia, for example. But we'll see world events of volcanic activity in the Mediterranean area and Italy, massive earthquakes that will happen running through China, Turkey, Greece, the Mediterranean, all the way through Spain and Portugal. That will be news events. So yeah, you will have warning, but we're looking at earth changes and disrupting economic, commerce, the supply chain, governments under duress because of massive infrastructure damage, and where's the money going to come from? All these pangs of distress will be happening over the next 6 years.
All right, I want to jump in and say two things. This is for the listening audience. I've been doing this quite a while, and I see how people respond. To get the most out of the episode we're having now, it would serve you well to set aside whatever you think the Earth model is. You think it's flat, you think it's round, you think anything you think, set it aside and just focus on the information being offered here. Secondarily, you brought up that there's energy coming in. You began to describe it, epicenters, trunks, and all these things, and you used the word device and emitter. Can we kind of roughly define these things so people get a sense of what we're talking about, the energy, the source?
Well, this is going to be unusual. There's no easy way to present what I'm about to say. I think from my standpoint, the reason why I get nervous is the average listener, they'll be like, come on, this guy is nuts. Yeah, and I don't necessarily like being made fun of or criticized. Who does?
I don't think you'll find that here, Weston.
What I try to emphasize to the listening audience we're a small scientific group, highly educated for whatever that's worth. We're not idiots. We've been well vetted. We have a pedigree, but we have quietly spent decades going over ancient texts, past geological events on the earth. And we looked at it from a science perspective, saying, well, what happened? Like pre-flood era, what caused the flood? What caused the dinosaurs to go extinct? The model of an asteroid hitting, asteroids that hit the earth? No, that was something different. That's our conclusion. So we're looking at decades of studying this, and we're not associated. We've severed our communication with academia and governments. We don't want anything to do with them, period. Those are institutions that are stubborn, they're cemented in their belief system, and it's a waste of time. You don't get anywhere banging your head against a cement wall. So we've been quietly, privately studying this and gathering data and coming up with theories, hypothesis, testing, validation, and we're a private community, and it's very rare that we go public. This would be one of the examples where I dare go public and kind of leak some of this information. Not that we're hiding anything. It's just most of the world's not ready for it. They're watching TV and they're caught in a plastic and leather cycle and they're just not paying attention. But this anomaly is more of a device. It's not a planetary system that you can see with a telescope or register. That's not how this works. This is a technology in counter space, or if you use the ancient text or the Bible reference, this is a heavenly technology unknown to the human race. It's off planet and it's a different dimensional technology. So it'd be very arrogant on our part to assume we can understand everything, especially that higher dimension. Well, no, we're the new kids on the block. The human race isn't that old if you look at the larger scale. So there are physics and technologies we can't comprehend. What you can do is look at how the Earth is manifesting and behaving and look at past geological evidence and look at the behavior of our sun. And we came to the conclusion, yeah, there's no question there's a second electromagnetic emitter other than our sun that's causing the Earth to behave this way. Because the sun is not emitting additional electromagnetic energy to activate the cores of the interior planets and get this magma expansion. And these ancient volcanoes are waking up, as we predicted many, many years ago. The timeline is 100% accurate. How do we know this? The USGS, there weren't any scientific group anywhere on the planet that had predicted this years ago. How come we did? That we said that there would be volcanoes that have been inactive for 800, 1200, 1700 years, all of a sudden becoming active, because we knew that there is a different electromagnetic emitter that's close enough in our solar system to affect the Earth's core, to energize the Earth's core much more so than it normally is from our sun. And it would manifest in earthquake activity, volcanic activity, and then change in severe weather patterns, because the ocean bases would be warming up as the magma's rising, and the magma is much hotter than the glassy, rocky-type magma that the continental plates are floating on. So as this superheated magma comes up, it'll start heating the underneath of the continental crust. Well, that would start to warm up the oceans. And as the oceans warm up, they slow up as far as the currents, and the oceans act as a radiator system. So as the ocean's currents start to stall, because the oceans are generally warming, the jet stream would become more violent and more erratic, because the jet stream would be the secondary mechanism to try to regulate, monitor temperature. So we knew the Earth would start to act more schizophrenic, and if the jet stream gets more active, that's where you have large and more severe hail, you have more tornadic activity, hurricanes, cyclone, typhoons, depending where you are, which you name that would start increasing. So as it has since the early 2000s, to this day, there isn't any government agency or scientific community that's explaining why this is happening. We're the only ones, but we don't go public. Once in a while, I'll do a show like this and give you some intel, but we're quietly gathering this information. We're recording and documenting this for human history's sake. This device, it's not the size of a planet. It doesn't have to be big, but it's an electromagnetic emitter. But what it's emitting is not the same electromagnetic frequencies coming from our sun. That's why you can't see it. You don't have to be able to see it. But the electromagnetic frequency is a frequency not normal in our solar system. It's a frequency controlled by counter space or the heavenly realm, and it's doing as it's assigned. It's affecting the Earth's core. It's affecting other planets, but I'm focusing on Earth. That's where we live. So it's affecting the Earth's core by design, because that's what this intelligence wants it to do. It wants the Earth to be reconfigured, because the reset's coming, but it also affects human consciousness. And I'll stop there, because you might have questions.
All right. Just to make things very clear, we had Weston on for episode 621, 626, 633. 626 and 633, I think it's 621 and 626, he was using Jet Blake, if you go back to the episode. But I want to make perfectly clear that that other object that I filmed in and around the sun, probably behind the sun, is not what we're talking about here at all. Jason, you want to jump in with any questions or shall I continue?
Yeah, I have a few, but I don't know how much we want to get into these things. First of all, you had said you're focusing on Earth, but it could and I assume would affect other planets. Is there anything with this object coming through the solar system that we would be able to detect, that scientists would be able to detect, say like Mars or something that they could see, or even the gas giants, that they would notice something was going on that they couldn't explain?
Oh, yes. And it's already happening. They're just not going public. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter. Yeah, absolutely. These planets are showing stresses, but they're not telling you what this is. There's a gag order on this.
What about, like, you see all kinds of people online always posting about the Schumann resonance. Would there be any correspondence there? Like every now and again, they'll post a complete energy spike on the Schumann, like a whiteout, it looks like in the online graph. Is there any relationship there in your view?
Yes. Yes. That's what's causing it. It's this anomaly. See, here's what happened. And Jupiter, just as a reminder from the other shows, Jupiter was absorbing a lot of this electromagnetic energy. It was kind of running interference. But Jupiter, since 2018 and its orbit position, is no longer able to absorb. So since 2018, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars have been receiving full brunt of this anomaly. That's just a side thought. The Schumann resin, when it spikes like that, that's not because of sun's activity. It's from the second electromagnetic emitter that's controlled by the heavenly realm or counter space. We call it counter space as a field theory term. It's absolutely controlled. And that's why it's also going to control. We're going to start seeing mankind a separation in behavior, because it's all related to human consciousness and DNA. The way we're designed, we respond to electromagnetic frequencies. Well, since it's inbound and it's close enough that it's affecting the planets, it affects human behavior. But this was prophesied and discussed in ancient texts. The structure today, the power structure today, if it's government, military, academia, banking, whatever, I'm sure you've had hundreds of shows on this and guests, that power structure, do you think that power structure wants the global population to know what I'm saying, where they say, well, we've detected there must be something in our solar system close enough. It's affecting these planets and human behavior. Because people start asking questions. What they go, well, wait a minute, where's this coming from? What do you mean electric? How's it affect? Eventually, if you dig down deep enough, you'll have to admit that there's a superior being other than mankind, maybe source, creator, a god, and that there's intelligence behind this. Then what happens is they open up a can of worms. And they lose their script, their paradigm, their controlling of information, and mankind would start to realize, oh, maybe there is a God or superior source, and look for spiritual solutions. That doesn't work well with the current power structure. They want more of an agnostic, atheist, non, and just focus on the power structure that we have now, where that's where the authority stems from. That's who you need to listen to. We have solutions. We'll control situations on Earth. Don't look elsewhere. So that's why there's a gag order and you don't have truth of what's really happening in our solar system.
As they dig deep holes and stock them with food and water. But you know what's interesting as you're speaking, there's almost a perverse description of what you could imagine an outcome to be in that old film, The Time Machine, with the Morlocks and the Eloi. The Morlocks having gone underground, but of course, in that representation, the Eloi are not very bright. They're kind of like sheep. They wander around. But what we're talking about is something very different. It's almost like, would it be fair for me to say this energy coming in across the planets all the way down to here, it's like an upgrade, isn't it?
Well, it'll act as an upgrade if someone is spiritually inclined.
Right. Well said.
So not everyone's spiritually inclined. So our predictions that we keep quiet about and looking at the older texts and prophecies, predictions in scriptures, for example, there's going to be a separation of mankind. And there'll be a portion of those, if you want to use the term higher vibration, those spiritually attuned, they will survive this reset event. A large portion will not, because they're not awakening, they're not spiritually tuned. They will succumb to the geological events of the earth as it gets violent with earthquakes and subduction and tsunami, volcanic activity, all that stuff, hail, wind, the Armageddon event that the scriptures talk about. Many won't make it, but those that do are an elevated and become a more advanced human society.
When you say older texts, are you referencing something other than just the Bible? And are you meaning things that aren't in the mainstream, say the KJV Bible, like the stuff that's in the Ethiopian Bible?
Yeah, there's indications in scripture text, the 66 Bible canon we have now. There are also other, the Ethiopian Bible has other Bible texts that aren't included in modern translations, but they hint towards it. There's also other writings of Asia and Asia Minor that allude to this. They just might use different poetic language. I tend to use more of the language scripted in the scriptures, but they're all hinting towards the same thing, that there is a reset coming, that a portion of humans that are spiritually connected will be at a higher vibration, elevated, and then those that will not and will not survive and be deleted. That's a polite term, deleted.
Okay, so to pull it back around, what changed around 2004 and 2005?
Well, what happened in 2004, December 2004, was a major event when an earthquake tsunami hit the Indonesia area. And that was a high death toll. If you look and do research, depending on the numbers you get, it was over 300, close to 400,000 deaths. That was bad. A lot of human casualties when that hit in 2004. So what triggered that? There was no solar flare in the solar cycle. There wasn't anything coming from our sun per se to trigger that. So the reasoning is, was there a unknown, hidden electromagnetic emitter that triggered that event? That was the first question. So then we look and go, well, if that's the case, then that's probably the jolt. That's where it was grounded. When you have a building, your home or an office building, and the electrical system, you have to ground that panel. So I don't know, the electrical contractor, they might have a large copper rod that's hammered into the ground and then they ground it to earth. So that got our attention and we're wondering, I wonder, Indonesia, maybe that's the grounding spot where it makes electromagnetic connection. Well, if that's the case, let's see if from this point forward, we have more seismic activity. And if that's the case, then there is a hidden electromagnetic emitter that must have gotten close enough in our solar system that's affecting the Earth. And since 2004, that's what's been happening. So we're like, yep, there's definitely a second emitter. It's not from our sun, because the sun's solar cycles, the sun's, you know, last 40, 50 years, the sun's getting weaker on its electromagnetic output. It's radio noise. It's getting quieter, weaker. Well, that's not what's been happening to the Earth. We've had more earthquake volcanic activity, dormant volcanoes becoming active, strange weather patterns. So where's this uptick coming from? It's a secret emitter. Well, if you look at prophecies, it talks about wormwood in an event that would be coming where there'd be signs in the stars and the heavens that people become faint out of fear And Jesus talked about earthquakes and pestilences, one place after another. And you tie that in, you go, well, this is an event controlled by intelligence from a different realm, the heavenly realm. So we go, this must be the timing, the timeline that the scriptures and the ancient prophecies are talking about. Whether you have tribes in Central America, South America, they've all hinted towards some type of event like this coming. And we're like, it's here. It's here. The earth is manifesting, and human social construct, human behavior. Most of humanity is losing their mind. You can see that, right?
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
And the powers that be seem to be leveraging in that direction to facilitate everyone losing their mind.
Correct. And you've hinted on this. There's trillions of dollars. There's $21 trillion missing the HUD, Housing, Urban Development, and the military, but there's over $60 trillion unaccounted for. Well, where'd all that money go? Because if it's on the surface, you would see it in infrastructure. It's not on the surface. So trillions of dollars, there's no question that there's been massive underground facilities. I don't know if you want to call them cities, facilities, research, and connected high-speed rail. You look at all the concrete and rebar and elevator companies, their activity. There's not enough high-rises on the surface for these resources. There's been something going on for many decades underground. Well, what's that all about? So if you look at forensic evidence, you know, well, certain power structures, they're getting ready for something, but they're underground. They're investing a lot of money underground. Do they think that they're going to survive something coming and let the people on the surface kind of fend for themselves? And then after an event, do they plan on coming back to the surface with a new global governance, a new order system of things, but they're not letting us know data that they have? So if that's the case, it'd be up to just a few independent scientists like us to say, well, this is what we think is happening based on our evidence, and we're not under any contract, NDA, where we have to keep our mouth shut. If that's the case, you're not going to get it from them. They're not going to let you know what they're up to and where this money's going. And if you're a scientist, you're under contract to keep quiet. And it's quite severe if you break that contract. So the only information you're going to get is on your own, or if you listen to an interview once in a while, someone like me with a science background, and we've been looking at this for over 20 years, and we're sharing our viewpoint.
Well, there's a couple of things here. From all appearances, it would look like they're going full Morlock. If you were just temporarily bunkering, you wouldn't build as much infrastructure as we've been led to believe down their entire cities. But having said that...
Oh, I got an answer for that.
Okay, go ahead.
I haven't mentioned this on... I only do a few shows. You're one of three shows I do. I get a lot of contacts, but I can't do... Otherwise, I'd be doing shows every day, and there's not enough time, unfortunately. And I'm careful who's going to respect this information, and you're very respectful. A lot of people I don't know, so I turn down interviews and conferences. So this will be the first time I've said this. What I have not mentioned, to answer your question, Crow, is the power structure. After this event, when the anomaly leaves our solar system, because it's accomplished its task, whatever this device is, this instrument, because the scriptures mention that the celestial bodies are controlled by this divine, this Jehovah, Yahweh. If other ancient texts have a different name, then plug in that name. But when it leaves, what's going to happen is we have about 186-year mini ice age is coming after the event. What that means is in about 72 years-ish from now, from today, it will be so cold that the Gulf of Mexico will be ice-covered about a mile and a half off the coast. That's New Orleans, that's Mississippi, Alabama, Florida. There'll be no growing season in any of North America. The support band of life for that period, that 186 years, will be no more than 17 degrees, maybe 18 degrees north and south of the equator. Then the earth starts to gradually warm up in what used to be called United States and Canada, or Northern Europe, will be able to start to support row crops, your corn, wheat, soybean example. So these underground facilities need to be built to last a minimum of 186 years. So it's long term.
Is there any sense, so from what's been laid down, it seems obvious that the powers that be knew this was coming, which kind of indicates that this could be cyclical. Just yes or no, real quick. Do you view this as cyclical?
It's only cyclical. This is the difficult, for me, this is the difficult part of the interview, because okay, I have to get into spiritual components.
That's fine.
Yes. Okay. Because I'm at a certain point where I talk about the predictions of weather patterns and everything, but I have to go, it's cyclical in a standpoint. Have we had resets in the past with modern day human history, say the last 7,000 years? Well, the answer is, yeah, we had the great flood of Noah's day. What was happening in Noah's day? If you read these ancient texts, scriptures, and other texts, to sum this up, people might have different opinions. I don't know, but I'm the one on the show, so you, unfortunately, you have to listen to me. Our understanding is there was great genetic engineering experimentation going on pre-flood. So there were alien visitors, non-humans, that came to Earth. Some people go, oh, that's Anunnaki, that Zechariah, Sitcher, whatever you say. The scriptures talk about watchers, fallen angels, I don't know, whatever term. But alien would be correct. Alien meaning non-human. So there's been alien presence before on Earth. Well, there was great genetic experimentation. What was the genetic experimentation? The genetic experimentation that was taking place was genetics that the scriptures talk about originated in the Garden of Eden. So what happened was there was an area sanctioned. I'll try to say this quickly. Maybe you'll find this interesting. There was a section of area designated. The scriptures talk of the Garden of Eden. I don't know. So I'll use the illustration. Let's take Missouri, where I live. Picture a non-human intelligence put a giant dome over Missouri, a glass dome, and kind of quarantined it from the rest of the area. Inside this dome, which we call Missouri, under this dome, very smart alien technology engineers, source, creator, created through genetic material that they invented. They created plants and animals and a man and woman. And it was like an aquarium. And that was going to expand the animal, the plant, and the human were to expand. And as they expanded, this dome that's covering Missouri would widen. And in this, I'm just using an illustration that we can read. Then it started to cover Illinois and Kansas. And then it started to cover Ohio. And eventually this dome would get larger and larger, cover all North America, United States, Canada, and then Mexico, then Europe. And eventually the whole earth would be filled with these genetic designs that the scriptures say were sanctioned by the creator. Well, that plan didn't exactly happen as it was. So pre-flood, you had non-human visitors that were editing and changing the DNA that was under that dome. Was that sanctioned? Were they allowed to tamper and mess with that, change that DNA that was under that dome? Well, the texts say no, that was unauthorized. So what happened is a reset came. This anomaly came once before, and it came in the days of the dinosaurs. That's another discussion, but it's come before. But every time it comes, there's a major reset that takes place on Earth. So it's acting more like a disciplinary or a military campaign, because it's stopping alien agendas from tampering with that original DNA that was under that dome. Any questions before I go any further?
This is the children of a lesser god idea.
I don't know.
Basically, that beings that are here now, while still carrying the divine spark of life from the highest creator, were tampered with at a lower level.
Yeah, there's been tampering. Exactly. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is this genetic tampering was not authorized. It's not a good thing. So let's say the divine or creator sends in a device, a technology that breaks up or interrupts the illegal activity of genetic tampering. Did I make that clear?
Yep.
And do you know anything about the beings that did this? More about like what they are, who they are, where they came from, that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, when the script, if I use scriptural references, when it talks about fallen angels, you hear the term Satan, demons. I mean, who hasn't heard of that? Satan and the demons. What does that mean?
Archons. There's a lot of different words for this.
Yeah, archons. So these are just when it talks about Satan and the demons, Satan means liar and manslaughter, murder, and the demons. They say, well, that's fallen angels. Okay, but the scriptures don't get into specific. What are angels? It mentions angels, the general category, cherubs, seraphs, but these are species. There's probably billions and billions, maybe trillions of angels, but they're different species, different types, and they're different dimensional entities. They don't live in our dimension where they have a human body, where they eat, sleep, go to the bathroom. No, they're different, and they're much older than carbon-based mankind, womankind. So some of these species, some of these aliens, and they probably have different features, and they have come to Earth, and they've tinkered genetically and modified, they've experimented here on Earth, illegally. They didn't get this creator, this source, the divine, if you want to use the word Yahweh, they didn't get the permission to do that. So they got disciplined. They got spanked. And celestial body, this anomaly, was used to violently reconfigure the Earth. When the dinosaurs served their purpose, they were eliminated. This anomaly was used to reconfigure the Earth, and the dinosaurs weren't needed anymore. In Noah's day, this genetic experimentation came to an immediate halt in the flood event, but then this genetic experimentation resumed. It started to pick up speed decades after the flood, and then we have it today going on. Well, guess who's coming again? The same technology's coming. The same divine's going, no. You're right back to this genetic experimentation. This reset is going to be final, because whatever the intelligence is, let's say God or divine, Christ, Jesus talked about that there's going to be time, there's going to be a final reset. We're not going to keep repeating this every 4,000 or 6,000 years. So in this great reset, this Armageddon event, that's when it's at the heavenly level, counter space, that's when that authority says, yeah, I've had enough. This is going to be the final spank down. A lot's going to be eliminated, and only spiritual select, those that are attuned, will be at a higher vibration, will survive this event, and we're finally going to have mankind, womankind, a society of spiritually oriented people with no more alien / demonic influence. But if you look in the past, this has happened several times. If you look at scriptural passages, this is going to be the final reset, and we won't have to keep cycling over and over again. This is the grand finale, finally. We happen to be alive and could possibly eyewitness this final event, which is, you know, two ways to look at it. You can look at it as exciting, or you can look at it going, oh my gosh, out of all the times to be alive, I happen to pick now during this final Armageddon event. Okay, well, it is what it is. Do you want to get prepared for this, or do you want to, as prophesied, be the group that doesn't make it?
So there are ideas, and this went back to what I used to call children of a lesser God idea, but there are ideas that lifespans were shortened, that the spiritual growth of human beings in general was stunted. Do these ideas coincide at all with what you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah.
And so when we look at it from the spiritual aspect, which in my view is a major portion of what's going on right now. I mean, you could feel it.
Yeah.
If you tune in. So I'm just going to do the tuning fork description real quick to use a mundane physical description of the kind of split that you've outlined. So if you take a tuning fork that's a relatively high frequency and you get it vibrating, and you bring another like tuning fork in its vicinity, they will in sympathy resonate at that relatively higher frequency. As more and more tuning forks of like kind come together, that environment starts to become that higher frequency. Now, if you bring in a low vibrational tuning fork, it will not vibrate. It cannot gain sympathy with the environment that's got created. It's the odd man out at that point. And that's kind of a mundane description to kind of define that we have lived our entire lives in what I call a low vibrational system. I define it as service to self. In my view, where we are headed could be defined as service to others. And in that, all the low vibrational systems that we have always known have to go away now. How do you feel about those descriptions and statements, Weston?
I 100% agree.
So just for people listening, the last blog I did for episode 674, I think it has the title to do with health. But if you look down at the blog, I wrote about a little known 600-year cycle. It's called the Naros cycle. And what's interesting about it is this is one of those cycles that was hidden in high religious organizations that were not public, maybe secret societies, who knows. But one of the descriptions given is that this period of time perfectly harmonizes sun and moon, and it is the be-all and end-all of human consciousness and what they call human constitution, which relates to the physical form. In other words, humans getting better. If we go back to the idea that Weston, where we've been manipulated, stunted, bad things have gone on that weren't part of the overarching plan, you look at things like this and they finally start to state an idea like in 1881, we came into the supposed age of Aquarius. And at that time, they state human consciousness was at the equator. What that means is the halfway point going up. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because all these things, Rose thinks I said Soros. I meant to say Naros with an N like Nora. But what I'm getting at here is when you read about these little known things and other cycles, they kind of fit right in with what Weston is saying. Basically, we are no longer descending in consciousness. We are elevating. And I just wanted to lay all that down. So Weston, is it safe to say you've already said that the planets are basically, I'll just use the word upgraded, but that would include the sun and moon, wouldn't it? The way that I view the sun is kind of like a lensing mechanism. It's almost like it's lensing all the energies down that do what they do here in any given day. Do you feel like the sun is also being upgraded? So many people comment, when I was a kid, it looked yellow and all these other things, but I use a very expensive telescope and I notice distinct differences in the sun of this period.
Yeah, because the sun is being affected by this anomaly. Yeah, it's all, we're living in the times of a great reset. So the sun and moon behavior will also change because of this anomaly's influence. You know, when you're a kid, you have fairly powerful magnets and you play with magnets, or you have them on the table. And with one magnet, as you move closer and closer, you start to see the other magnet jump around and vibrate a little bit, and you're gauging the distance. You back the magnet off and the other magnet's not moving. Then you slowly move forward and you start to see it fidget. You're discovering the magnetic fields and the interaction. And then if you move the magnet closer, the other magnet shoots off, or based on polarity, the other way around, you get close and all of a sudden they snap together. Hopefully your fingers aren't caught in between the two magnets. That's what's happening here. You have electromagnetic emitters and you have two close to each other. So obviously the one that we do see, the sun, because part of the electromagnetic spectrum, our eyes are designed to pick up that visible light spectrum, we can see and feel changes of the sun because this other electromagnetic emitter does affect it.
You know, it's interesting, just as a side note, 3 years ago when I got the high quality solar telescope, looking back now, I feel like that was the peak of the so-called 11-year solar cycle, which isn't actually definitely 11 years. It goes all over the place. But the following year, which was last year, there was still quite a bit of activity. This year, because of temperature, I've only had one day, but there was only a single sunspot, almost no prominences. And yet, anyone who watches the sun is aware that there have been some flares that have thrown off quite a bit of material. It's almost like the sun was gaining energy all the way up to a couple years ago, which looked like solar max. And now it's just this charged ball where you can't see a lot of activity going on.
Right. And Job, the book of Job, the 38th chapter of Job, it talks about where Job is questioning Job and he says, who wrote the laws that govern the stars and the planetary systems? Was it you? Answer was no. He goes, who's the one that imposes their authority, meaning the stars or celestial bodies and its influence on the Earth. Is it you or is it me?
Can you loose the bands of Orion?
Yeah. So this gives us evidence that when we have behaviors of planets and stars and moons or satellites of planets, this is not random. It's controlled by the creator or central intelligence. They follow laws and commands given by a central intelligence center. That would be the heavenly realm. So when we're seeing the changes in the sun that we can remember from growing up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and it's different, well, yeah, the times are different. Well, are other planets behaving? Is Earth behaving different? Yeah, it's behaving different. So if you're spiritually attuned and you're not distracted by an artificial world controlled this demonic network, if you're not distracted, then your inner self, your spidey senses should be going, yeah, things are different. Things are changing. Things aren't quite well. That's a good sign, because that means you're probably more spiritually tuned and you're awakening. And the whole idea is, if you pick up on these things, you should sense that a reset is coming, a divine reset is coming. And then where do you need to be when this reset finally is accomplished? You want to be on the right side of this reset. So the scriptural text reference, in a figurative language, it says, mankind, you'll have one or two marks on your forehead. You'll either have the mark on your forehead that the prophet Ezekiel talked about, the secretary's inkhorn. You'll have a mark on your forehead where you're written in the book of life, or you'll have the mark of the beast, 666, that the apostle John sees in Revelation. If you have the composite mark, 666, the mark of the beast, you do not survive this Armageddon, this reset, period. If you have the mark of the secretary's inkhorn mentioned in Ezekiel, you do survive, and you're this part of this new enlightened society where there's no sickness, aging, death. You know, it's a very peaceful, blissful existence. There's no third option, according to these texts. So if you're attuned today and you look what's happening in our solar system, the sun's different, people's behavior, 2 + 2 = 4, type of a thing, and go, wow, I wonder if we're living in a time period that was prophesied or predicted. Is this great reset coming? We got scientists like this Weston Warren. He's saying, yes, this is what's happening. I'm in my 40s, 50s, 60s. Things are definitely different. Well, pull from your gut, your inner feeling, and run with that. And all I can say on these shows, at least it's nice of you guys to let me use your show as a speaking platform, and you aren't rude to me, you're not discrediting me. I use these opportunities in a way to tell people, I strongly suggest you look at the spiritual element of this and wake up as fast as possible and do some self-evaluation and see what mark is on your forehead, figuratively speaking. Which one is it? I've got something else to say regarding that, but I'll see if you have any questions before I go any further, or if you want it for part two.
Well, I think we're getting close to the top of the hour. I'm with you all the way. And a big part of this, like, as I've talked about things over the years, I try to figure out simple ways to say things. And one of the things I say often, which I think is quite helpful right now, because where do you look? What do you focus on? I always say there's no lie in nature. And for me, that has helped. But if you look around at broad, and you've already mentioned it, people watching TV, at what point does your face in a screen or in front of movies or TV or whatever it is, over hundreds or thousands of hours, at what point could that be considered worship? And if worship is important, where should your worship actually be focused?
That's where I was headed. So, we're on the same page, but I stopped. Because I'm going to let you tell me what direction, or if that's, you break interviews up to part one, part two. I didn't know if you wanted to in detail say that.
Yeah, we can pick this up in part two, but don't feel like you have to shy away from the spiritual, because to me, that is the major gravity of what's going on right now. The momentum is spiritually based from my point of view.
Well, what's happening is I was going to give this illustration. Scientifically, the Earth is completely pressurized. And these four main magma corridors, these ancient magma corridors, have not only been pressurized, but now there are branches connecting the four arms. A major one is going through China into Kazakhstan, for example, and it'll probably end up connecting to Italy through the Mediterranean. We will have a connection that'll take place along the Mississippi Valley, because that's probably what will trigger what we call now United States being cut in half. So there'll be a waterway from the Great Lakes to Gulf of Mexico. This is being developed, but there's going to be a partial pause. What I mean by that is I'll use this illustration of a tea kettle. The old-fashioned tea kettle that whistles when it comes to a boil. So you have it on your burner, your stove. You bring it to a boil, it starts whistling, or maybe the lid is popping up and down. It's boiling. Well, you're not ready for your coffee or tea just yet. So you back the burner down to where the tea kettle is no longer, the lid's not slapping, it's not whistling, but you retarded the energy input, the heat, and it's simmering just below the boiling point because you want coffee or tea maybe 20 minutes from now. So when you get close to 20 minutes, all you have to do is hit the burner, put a little more energy in there, and within 60 seconds, it's whistling at a boiling point. That's when you pour your tea or coffee. We're at a point now where the earth started to whistle, the magma and the pressure started to whistle, and it's just been retarded ever so slightly. It's simmering, but it's pausing. There's intensity, but it's not at the boiling point. It's being delayed. There's a reason for that.
That's a good demonstration. That is how I view the sun right now. What you just used, mundane, easy to understand terms, is how I view the sun when I was trying to talk about what I saw through the telescope. It feels exactly like what you just laid down.
Yep, there's a reason for that spiritually, and it should give you goosebumps when you hear it.
Well, I think we're kind of at the top of the hour. Are we there, Jason?
Yes, we are.
Do you want to add anything more in before I wrap up, Jason?
You know, I'm curious if you think you could do this when we come back for hour two. Could you describe the Earth and how different it was before the last time the anomaly came through?
Yeah.
All right, I'm making a note of that. Anything more you want to add into hour one before we take a short break and come back for hour two, Weston?
No. Does Rose have anything?
She puts everything into the notes, and she'll jump in if we're doing something off center. So I'm going to wrap it up. Well, we're going to take a short break and come back for hour two. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. On the free hour, members can get access to the first hour. Members know to log in for the full episode. Members get access to all the forums, the comments sections. They can freely view Shoot the Moon, which is a two-hour film covering my telescope work. It has 10 awards in the world. Members also get access to the solar stills I have shot that you can purchase and print, as well as exclusive access to the solar work that is just picking up now. I expect to be warm enough in the coming week to begin this year's viewing. With that, we're going to take a short break and come back for hour two with Weston Warren. And I'd like to wish everybody everywhere a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
is the enemy of knowing. Come.